Good morning. It is great to see each of you here this morning. A lot of you got to come home for Christmas, and that makes it really special. It's good to see everyone together. And so, great things happen here at Netherland, and God blesses us in many ways. Ronnie and Tammy don't look any older, but they're new grandparents. Little Sevy's home now and doing really, really good. And we have Steve and Anna, their first worship service together as husband and wife. They got married last Sunday afternoon. We're happy for them, and it's just good to see everyone here this morning. Mary, did you know? I like that song. Those ladies did a great a cappella version of it. So this morning, we're going to go off that question. Mary, did you know? So I just want to read the text for you in Luke chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and concerned what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. We have a lot of things that are symbols of Christmas, and a lot of things we recognize very readily. Stories and about people. We have the little manger scene sometimes we get out this time of the year and decorate our homes with. And we have a lot about the Christmas images, the story of the nativity, the star, the wise men, the shepherds. But this morning, I'm going to try to convince you there is one person we've left out of the story. That without this person, the story doesn't hold up. The Holy Spirit is an essential but neglected and forgotten person of the story of Christmas. Now, for some of you, that may sound odd that I refer to the Holy Spirit as a person. But the Holy Person is a person just as much as God is a person. And Christ is a person, and the Holy Spirit is a person, because the three comprise God, the Godhead completely. So the Holy Spirit is a person that is neglected in the story of Christmas. In fact, we might say, Mary, did you know how much the Holy Spirit would change your life? Here she was, this young, unmarried girl in some backwoods town called Nazareth. And the Holy Spirit is promised that it's going to come into her life and it's going to change everything. In fact, and the angel answered and told her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that the Holy One who's be born will be called the Son of God. I don't know that Mary, as a young lady, could appreciate how much the fact that the Holy Spirit entering into her to bring forth the Son of God was going to not just change her life, but the lives of all of us today. You see, there are certain religious groups that worship Mary. And I'm not proposing that we should worship Mary, but we should respect the fact of what she was. I mean, she was sort of the predecessor of what's going to happen to us as believers. Because really, we can ask Mary, do you know how much the Holy Spirit is going to change your life? But really, as believers, as children of God, do we really know how much the Holy Spirit wants to change our lives? The Holy Spirit is a part of God who dwells within the heart of the believer. But the Holy Spirit is not contented just to take up residence. The Holy Spirit wants to transform, to change, to mold us more into the image of Christ. But it's something that we've got to be willing to sort of follow that lead. The Apostle Paul talked about the Holy Spirit. Very important for his readers to understand what was happening. In Galatians chapter 5, he talks about this transforming nature. These things of the Holy Spirit, when it goes into the heart of the believer, when it goes into you, can transform you into it. It produces this identifying marks of the world that you have the Holy Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, 22-24, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And those that are Christ have crucified with the flesh, with the affections of lust, if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. And just as the Holy Spirit, when it entered to Mary and to produce Jesus into this world, the Holy Spirit enters into us to produce all these evidences of God's goodness and God's righteousness and God's presence in this world and us. Mary was just the first one to show us the potential of what the Holy Spirit can do. So we might also ask this morning, Mary, did you know that you would be an example of how the Holy Spirit brings Jesus into this world? That's what happened. Literally. The Holy Spirit helped to bring Jesus in the world. Matthew writes, talking about Joseph, Mary's proposed husband. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, Jesus physically walked on this earth 2,000 years ago. People can't eyewitness him today. Not like they could then, except through you. Mary literally brought forth the Son of God into this world through the Holy Spirit. And God is really invested in you showing Jesus to this world by His same Spirit. You see, it wasn't from some carnal relation that Mary had this experience. The Lord told Joseph, don't worry, this is the Holy Spirit. This is God at work. And you manifesting Jesus in this world, is not just about your own efforts. It's not about your carnal experiences, if you will. It's about letting God work in you. In the leanings, and the yearnings, and the leadings of His Holy Spirit. And getting more and more and more in tune with that. And so we may ask you this morning, do you know how the Holy Spirit is determined to make Jesus known in this world through you? It may sound cliche, but it's becoming more and more abundantly clear. You may be the only Bible some people will ever read. How you conduct yourselves at school, at work, at home, in the community. God has invested to manifest His Son in this world, as Paul said, through the earthen vessels of me and you. And so God didn't leave it up to just me and you to muster this up. God gave His Spirit to go within us, to live within us, to help bring Jesus into this world. Mary becomes the prototype, the chosen vessel, the highly favored one to bring forth Jesus into this world. But you become the same, the chosen vessel, the highly favored one to bring forth Jesus and manifest Jesus in this world by yielding, trusting, and leaning on the Holy Spirit. Paul makes this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, Mark, I don't know that I've really had that experience that you're talking about. I've never had that overwhelming rush of experience. I've never felt out of control. And if that's your understanding about how the Holy Spirit works, you're probably sort of been misled by some religious people. The Holy Spirit sometimes operates in very normal ways. And the very fact that if you have made that confession, and I pray that you have, the very fact that you've made that confession that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died for our sins, could not have been uttered or understood by you except by and through the Holy Spirit. It's His purpose. It's role. That's what Jesus says. You can about do anything you want to do and still make it in. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that's a sin you cannot stay in that can be forgiven. Because the Holy Spirit is confirming who Jesus is. He is Lord, and you call the Holy Spirit a liar, there's no hope for you. You're toast. Because there is no salvation apart from Jesus. If you deny what the Holy Spirit says about Him, that He is Lord, there's no other means of salvation except by Him, through Him, and because of Him. And the Holy Spirit agrees with this, and the Holy Spirit relates this. You know, when Mary heard this, I don't know her age. I know there's a lot of theories. Some people have her very, very young. Some people have a little bit older. I don't know. She was a young lady, a virgin. But she makes this statement. She calls herself the maidservant of the Lord. And she says, let it be according to your word. What did she do? She surrendered. Whatever you need, I'll do it. What would have happened if Mary said no to the Holy Spirit? I mean, we have to argue that God says we have a free will, right? Well, Mary says, whoa, 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 wrong lady. There's a nice little girl down the street. That's how some of us react to the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, Lord, it's not me. There's someone better equipped, someone that more likable, someone is, you know, someone else better, someone other than me, Lord. Isn't that sometimes we respond?
We get a leaning or a yearning or a longing or something. Well, I ought to. No, someone else is better qualified. What if Mary said no? Paul says that we as believers can say no to the Holy Spirit. He says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't make it have a harder time in your life than you have to. This is your seal of approval. This is what proves you're the authentic product and you're not contaminated in any way. We were working at the house yesterday, kids and were doing some things, and I got thirsty, and I went to the refrigerator down in the basement, and I got this Diet Pepsi out, and the can was misshapen. And I thought, whatever. And something like that. So I put it, had my pocket, jacket pocket, and I thought, well, I'm thirsty, got it out, and opened it, and it went, it wasn't even sealed. I mean, it was like it didn't. And then I took a sip of, and it was, there's nothing worse than a diet, any drink really, that has no bubbles in it, right? I spit it out. Poured it out. Something happened. Something was wrong. You know? I guess the formaldehyde built up and whatever they put in it to keep it shelf life going or whatever. Let's put formaldehyde in that stuff. You know that, don't you? It goes funky. That's why it looks so good. Someone wasn't right about it. See, the Holy Spirit is in your life to make sure that before God, you're right. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee that you're right. This is why it's so important in the life of the believer, to understand the Holy Spirit is this dynamic, wonderful force that helps keep me right before God. And so, let's go on to the next point. Mary, did you know that you'd be the first to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Now, there were other people, be very honest, read the text. Zacharias experienced the Holy Spirit. He was filled. Elizabeth was filled. I mean, there were other people. But Mary would have this first indwelling experience of the Holy Spirit. And so, in Luke chapter 2. So what was it? While they were there, that's in Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You see, the whole experience of the Holy Spirit was to bring forth Jesus. All it was wanting to do. All it wanted to do. And Mary was just the first to have this. I mean, but today, you and me, us, we're still given the Holy Spirit as God's gift. And I know it doesn't tingle or shock or have some unworldly feeling when you come out of the waters of baptism. I know I baptized many of you. I was there. But something amazing happened then. God invested His Spirit in you. It entered you. And then Peter made this promise in Acts chapter 2. That those people responding to Jesus needed to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for their sins. Then they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And since that day, every time a person confesses Jesus, enters into the new world through the covenant of baptism, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's just as determined to bring Jesus into the world today as it was 2,000 years ago. Mary physically did that. But we're called to materially do that. Through how we love one another. Through how we forgive. Through how we give grace sometimes when it's hard to give. You see, the song, Mary, Did You Know? Makes a lot of questions. Did you know you were going to touch the face of God? Did you know your babe was going to heal the blind man? Did you know these things? He was going to walk on water. Did you know these things? But the same thing can be asked of us today. Did you know all the things the Holy Spirit may be able to bring about in your life? Things that you are yet to experience and yet to realize. The Holy Spirit is God's gift that keeps on giving. John chapter 14, Jesus describes the Spirit this way. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. So when you have this awareness, these things sort of come to you, feelings of assurance, thoughts of hope. It's the Holy Spirit working in your life. We talked this morning at the beginning about how the Holy Spirit is sort of this person who's left out of the story of the Nativity. You've never seen him manifest it. You might have seen an angel to represent Gabriel. But without the Holy Spirit, there would be no Christmas story. That's how God made it possible to bring forth Jesus into this world. The Holy Spirit is an essential but neglected and forgotten person in your story. Brother Herb and I asking, we pray for the lesson today because we've had some conversations and he said he spent 50 years in church and never really heard much about the Holy Spirit. And I said, that was a similar, not that many years, but that was a similar experience for me. I didn't hear a lot of sermons on it. Didn't hear a lot of preaching on it. I sort of grew up with a very undeveloped view of it. But folks, contrary, if I can sort of paraphrase Mark Twain, there was apparently a newspaper article that went out sometime during his life that he had died. You know, that Mark Twain had died, and then he came out and wrote an article contrary to common belief that I'm still living, you know, I'm not dead, you know. So contrary to sometimes popular perspective, the Holy Spirit is still alive, active, dynamic, and a vital force in God's people and in His church. And so we see it, and it's not in ways maybe other groups will say that you know, and special gifts or abilities, because we sort of recognize that was a time-limited thing for God to establish some things. But the reality is that if you have hope this morning, Romans chapter 5, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let me ask you this morning, raise your hand if you have hope. Now just sort of look around. If you have hope in your heart today, you need to thank the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Paul says, it's been poured into your hearts that you may have hope. We spent a whole lesson Wednesday night talking about the Hebrew and the Greek concept of hope. The concept of hope in the Bible is not wishful thinking. The concept of hope in the Bible is about waiting. It's tense expectations. One of the words for hope, the Hebrew word for hope, means to stretch a cord and stretch a cord and stretch a cord and stretch a ka. And stretch a cord And you know what happens? You keep stretching. When it's like, remember the rubber band thing? Stretch. You're anticipating it. You're expecting it. It's the waiting. This morning, the hope that you have in your heart is the expectation. Not the wishful thinking, but the expectation of something better, right? And so the Holy Spirit helps secure that in your heart this morning. That, you didn't come up to be that smart. It's what the Holy Spirit does for you this morning. This is a time of the year which we get real busy. And sometimes the busyness is good. Sometimes the busyness is distracting. But there's things that tell stories. Christmas is a great time of the year for stories. But sometimes the stories are in images. And in the next few hours, that day or two, your house will look like a bomb went off in it, maybe some of you. There'll be paper and boxes and stuff everywhere, you know. Tammy asked yesterday, she said, do we have trash bags? So she knows that we're going to be stuffing them full of stuff. But you know the visual image of all the trees, all the presents are out, everything's been open, but there's that one that's not been open yet. And that one tells a story, doesn't it? That unopened package tells a story of maybe someone who couldn't make it. Or maybe it tells a story of a misconnection. Maybe someone you meant to see, but it is intentional. It was determined. It has a name on the tag. It was given in anticipation and preparation for. It's a gift. But it's an unopened gift. And it only has meaning to the person who was sent to open it. It was meant for them. It was very personal. And the Holy Spirit is referred to many times as a gift in Scripture. And the Holy Spirit is there for you to receive. Those who have professed Jesus and committed their lives to Him through the covenant of baptism have received their gift. But yet, God keeps giving that opportunity over and over and over again. If you've not yet done that, we would love for you to do that. To claim that gift for you. To claim that unclaimed package. That one's mine. It's got my name on it. We'd love for you to do that. If you can't do it now, do it soon. You know, all of us would be willing to be a part of that, but you can let me or Jeff or Tyler or the elder or somebody know that's your decision. We'd love for you to take part in that. And so this Holy Spirit can live within you. And as believers, if we've sort of tuned it out, because the Holy Spirit does not take over. Mary had to give permission of the Holy Spirit to do what it was going to do. Let it be according to what you've said. So we have to do the same thing. We have to submit and yield and be obedient. Sometimes we fail in doing that. Sometimes we need help and reminders in doing that. If we can help you with that. Chris has chosen a song for us. We'll give you a place to respond now. But this isn't the only time to respond. But if you can, won't you as we stand and sing.